Heavenly Father, we thank you for that song that you just, in your affectionate sovereignty, had us sing. Certainly relates to our topic for the morning. You do reign. You reign over our dreams, our joys, our victories. You reign in the suffering and the pain and the hurt that we experience in a fallen world. Lord, I would pray not only that we would leave here 3 or so hours from now better equipped to help others, but that in the next 3 hours or so that your Spirit would minister comfort to us. We're not naive to think that there would not be among us here pain and hurt and suffering. And so allow us to apply biblical truth not only to other people, but first to our lives so we can minister effectively to others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I do want this to be a time of ministry, a time of equipping you for ministry, a time of bringing God's comfort to your own heart. Just a little bit more about myself, because I don't know a lot of you, though. As Rob said, I do know Steve. I do have stories. I can be bought. No, not really. But Steve and I grew up. I was in kindergarten when I moved a stone's throw away from his house, and I think he threw a few stones at my house. Steve's a year younger than I am, and so we went to elementary school, middle school, high school, Bible college, seminary together. He followed me all over like the little brother I didn't have. But I better be quiet because he gets the last word all the time. But Steve is a great man of God, been a great friend for years. Did graduate from Baptist Bible College and Grace Seminary. I've pastored in 3 churches. So I really come at this with you, with the pastor's heart. By God's grace, I pastored as an associate in a church of 3,000. Pastored as a senior pastor in a rural church of 100 that, again, by God's grace, grew to 300 and was an equipping discipleship pastor in a church of 500. So God has put me in different sized churches, different types of churches, which a lot of times I didn't understand what I was doing in life and ministry, but God sure did. And when he led me to chair the counseling program at Capital Bible Seminary around D.C., I saw, well, God did know what he was doing, even when I was confused, which, of course, I knew scripturally. Because now I can relate to pastors, lay people, counselors who are in all sorts of different settings. This particular lesson is near and dear to my heart for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is I had my notes spread out exactly 1 week ago this morning, putting the finishing touches on it, when I got a phone call from our best friends up in Crown Point, Indiana, about 70 miles up the road off 65. Dave and Gail, the night before, were in bed at 11:30, and they had a call from the Crown Point police dispatcher saying, please answer your door. There's 2 police officers and a chaplain there. Now, as parents, imagine you wake up, and Dave and Gail go to bed early. They'd been in bed 2.5 hours by that point. They get up, and the chaplain says, would you please be seated? They have 2 young adult children, and they're waiting for the worst, and the worst came. They were told that their 23-year-old son had tragically died the night before. Here's a son who defeated 2 bouts of cancer, one of leukemia, one of cancer, nursing student here in Indianapolis, final semester. And so I didn't take my notes with me. I hope I took God's Spirit with me as I went over to their house immediately. And let me tell you what we're talking about today. If you get that crisis call, don't give people what we're talking about today. Hug them. Cry with them, be there with them. In a sense, instead of the fancy term biblical sufferology, you know, what we could call this is what to do after the hug. I think if any of us have any compassion in us, the compassion of the Spirit of God, we can hug, we can cry, we can be there, we can sit in silence and spend the day with them, as my wife and I spent the week with them, and it's been a tough week, as you can imagine. Anyone who's a parent and anyone who's a Christian can relate to that. We're not talking about today what you do in the first instant. We are talking about what do you do after the hug. And we are talking about biblical sufferology. And you know, in our movement of biblical counseling, we have been rightly known that we have a robust theology of sin and sanctification. We have not always been known as having a robust theology of suffering and sanctification. I think there's certainly a movement of God in this biblical counseling movement to do that. There's some materials up here. that speak well to that. Dr. Carson yesterday on crisis counseling, the one-hour session he had, did a wonderful job on that. And as I understand, he's creating some materials. I'd like to think that what we share today is a piece of God helping us to have a robust theology of suffering and sanctification. By the way, when I talk about theology, I certainly mean the academic theology of the Word, but I mean a practical pastoral theology. And so in our 3 hours, three sessions together this morning, we will look at what does the Bible say about going through grief ourselves and with another person. But we will also look at how do we do that some. In fact, this may be a little different than some of the sessions you're used to. We'll actually have you interact with one another a little bit, have you interact with us a little bit, time permitting on that. As I look around this room, and I was here all day yesterday, this is not a group of novices here. This is a group of mature men and women with biblical wisdom, proverbial wisdom. So I would be foolish and arrogant to not take advantage. In fact, if you come to this session some other time, you'll probably hear some statements made today, and I'll be weaving in your wisdom. Of course, I always kind of follow the principle that first time I say, my good friend Chuck said this, the second time I say, it's been said, and the third time I say, I've always thought that, so I'll claim it after the third time there, a little plagiarism, I'll repent of that as we go along. But hopefully you found in your booklets where we're at, biblical sufferology, how to bring hope to the hurting. You see our first slide here, which is certainly a picture of the ultimate spiritual friend, the ultimate comforter that we have in Jesus Christ. Just briefly want to talk about our purpose together, our goal, our abstract, as you see on that first page. Students of human grief have developed various models that track typical grief responses. However, and this is the key to really what we're talking about, these models fail to assess whether the responses correspond to God's process for hurting, grieving, and hoping, growing. Biblical sufferology, and just that word, my students always accuse me of creating words, and the word's perfect spell checker accuses me of the same thing. A theology of suffering is what we're talking about here. It identifies eight scriptural stages in our response to life losses. Our biblical theology of suffering equips helpers to competently sustain and heal, we'll talk more about those terms, sufferers so that they can face suffering. And here's really what we're talking about. We can face suffering face-to-face with God. I did my dissertation on Martin Luther's pastoral counseling, and Luther liked a Latin term, coram Deo. Deo, of course, is God. Coram, in the presence of or face-to-face with. The heartbeat of his ministry, I think the heartbeat of biblical counseling should be bringing people face-to-face with God. We don't bring people ultimately to be our disciples. We bring people to Christ and the body of Christ. And so we want to talk about how do we move people in suffering to a place of being face-to-face with God. Let's be honest. When suffering comes, it is a trial of our faith. We want to encourage people to find God in the midst of their suffering. If you look at the session learning objectives, the fourth one there, the fourth bullet or heart, we want to use scriptural exploration and spiritual conversation. We'll define and illustrate those in a moment to encourage people to find God in the midst of their suffering. When we suffer, we are tempted by Satan to either, Satan's temptation is that we would turn our backs on God. What God wants to do in his affectionate sovereignty through our suffering, whether it's suffering that's a result of our own personal sin or really what we're focusing on more this morning, suffering that we're innocent sufferers. None of us are innocent people. But Dave and Gail were innocent of the reasons that caused their son to die. And that's really what we're talking about today. It's a trial of faith. And how do we, as people helpers, as biblical counselors, as spiritual friends, help people not turn their back on God, but draw closer to God during these difficult times of pain and suffering? When tragedy occurs, our faith is tried. James 1, 1 Peter 1 certainly teach that, as many passages teach, and we will be looking at that. By the way, through most of your outline, you will have some blanks to fill in. If we go too quickly afterwards, I do have some obsessive compulsive blank filling in therapy that I can do. If you miss a few of the blanks, I know I've taught long enough that students want every one of those blanks filled in. This is not inerrant, folks. it's not inspired, so if you miss a blank. And by the way,